it. It is Bedlam week. We are 24 hours away from a Big 12 championship level Bedlam. It's been a long week, but it's Friday. We're here. We did not forget about you guys. We're taping this on a Friday instead of a Thursday. And we have a couple special guests coming up later in the show. But first, joining me is Kyle Porter. Kyle, Bedlam, it's here. Are you ready?
I need to sleep from now until when it starts. It's 10:45 in the morning. I need to sleep for like 24 and a half hours. We've been grinding all week. It's been crazy, but it's been a lot of fun. I'm fired up. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm excited. The Big 12, you know, I hate it that they get lucky with this, but they lucked out to get a Big 12 title game on championship week. But yeah, I think it's going to be an awesome game. I really do.
Yeah, they got lucky with that graphic where they said, here's all the championship games this week, and they just put OU and OSU on there as if it was stupid. A conference championship game. You guys have been grinding this week. I just want to commend you and your team. You guys have been cranking out at all the articles, and no stone left unturned. And I feel like I have like a million tabs open from PFB. I feel like I've been studying for like a final exam. I have so much to read here. But I just want to commend you and your team.
It was funny because last night me and Mrs. Pistols went out on a date, and it was.
Hey now.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We some friends watched the kids, and we got to just hang out, eat some good food. But you know, I told her, I was like, I feel like I didn't even write anything yesterday. This was on Thursday because Tiger was playing and just a lot going on. But everybody else is just completely picking up the slack. Kyle Boone, Kyle Cox, all the Kyles. Stephen Mandeville is a guy who has been writing for us recently, has written some really good pieces. Thomas Fleming's, plays and gifts and, you know, just stuff that I don't even really understand have been tremendous. And then obviously Sam Aldrich covering basketball. Those guys have been... it's been fun. It's been really fun to read. I hope people appreciate it. I've appreciated it. And, I don't know. I'm pretty proud of what we've kind of all put together. And then obviously also, I failed to mention, but Caleb Deck has been helping out. Justin Southwell doing uniforms.
OKC Dave parachuting in.
OKC Dave did a great, is this the best quarterback battle ever? And then Chris Knox doing our, uniform preview stuff. So kudos to those guys. I don't give them enough credit. They don't get enough credit from everybody else. But yeah, they've been awesome.
It's like an all-star cast there you read off.
I know. I had to get everybody's name.
Lengthy. It's a lengthy list. You got a bunch of people under you.
I know.
College football playoff, Kyle. Let's get into that real quick. It looks like there's a decent chance we might have three Big Ten teams in the playoff because God forbid anyone else play football besides the Big Ten.
I want it. I crave three Big Ten teams, and I crave Alabama just burning it to the ground.
Is that your dream scenario?
I want that. I don't know. I've got like 15 dream scenarios.
Mine's pretty easy.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear yours.
It's obviously Bama and Ohio State. I think we can all agree are in. They're not leaving either of those two out. So I want Clemson to win. I want Washington to win, and I want Penn State to win 59-0 against Wisconsin. And I want the committee to leave out one of those conference champions for Ohio State, or I want them to be tempted to. I don't know if it comes down to that, Kyle. Okay, I think we all agree they're picking Ohio State no matter what. But I want to see the outrage, the uproar. I think we might go to eight teams immediately after if they leave out either Penn State, Washington, or Clemson.
If they leave out Penn State, Washington, and Clemson. Do you think there's a better chance of going to eight teams if one of those is left out or if Ohio State is left out?
I think one of the conference champions, because why are we doing this? Like, what system are we playing here if a conference champion doesn't get in over a team that didn't win their division? I think the outrage would be way more for that than for if Ohio State got left out. Obviously, Ohio State would be pissed.
Yeah.
Herbstreit would be aghast. He would be so livid. He'd be championing the 1998 team to get to win the Fiesta Bowl, for the 2011 team to win. You know, he was championing last year's team to win the national title too.
Get Craig Krenzel another title. Did Craig Krenzel win a title? Was he on that 2002?
He beat that Miami team. Yeah,
that's a travesty. Yeah, I mean, I guess I was just saying that because I think Ohio State has more political sway, obviously, than any of those three teams. I was thinking about this. Do you think that Penn State's resume is better than Ohio State's resume. If they do what you said and beat Wisconsin by 60 in the Big Ten title game, do you think Penn State's resume would be better than Ohio State's resume?
No. I mean, Ohio State's resume is the reason they're in. They went to OU and beat them by 3 touchdowns.
So your argument then is not necessarily that the committee is doing a bad job. Your argument is that the system is silly and broken.
Kind of. I'm arguing that the season and your conference season matters. The fact is, like, it's not Penn State's fault they didn't play Wisconsin and Nebraska on this given year. They've had that system forever in the Big Ten. They had that system in the Big 12 when it was two different divisions. There was times where you wouldn't play certain teams. That's how it works. All Penn State did was go out, win their division by the rules and regulations of their conference. So they're going to win their conference based on the rules. And for me, like I said last week, football is a regional sport. You don't get to play the best teams across the nation. You know, it's not linear. You don't play all the best teams. So what do you have to do? You have to win your region, and you have to win your division, like, or else just get rid of conferences. Definitely get rid of conference championships games, which Mike Gundy's championed that notion too. But just that's my point, Kyle. They beat them head to head. They won their division. They won their conference. They won it fair and square. Like, why play the games if we're just going to say, well, Ohio State's got a really good out-of-conference win and Penn State doesn't, so they're better, even though Penn State won head-to-head, won their division, and won their conference?
Yeah, I think one of the issues with that is I don't want to talk about this too long, but you're disincentivizing teams to play really good non-conference games. If you're saying that the only way to get in is to win your conference, then you're sort of disincentivizing playing the big boy non-conference games, because then teams' only goal is to just not get hurt in the first three games, right? So that you're prepared for conference play. So I don't know. I mean,
I don't think you only winning a conference championship is all that matters. But if we're going to compare Ohio State and Penn State, if it comes down to them versus them, which it is, let's be honest. They won the head-to-head. They won their conference. Like, it's not Penn State's fault that they won it fair and square by the rules and regulations of their conference. It's just not.
Yeah, I just think that look, I agree. I'm on your side. I think the playoff system is stupid and I hate it. But there's going to be holes in any way you do it, you know. And I do think that but the part where I agree with you, and I agree with you 99% of it. The part that I definitely agree is there has to be a path to where a team can say, if we do this, then we are definitely in. And I made this point on Wednesday after the playoff, like, Oklahoma, the Central Michigan game, it doesn't even matter. Like, even if they had won that game, they wouldn't be getting in. They just wouldn't. Like,
no.
And won Bedlam and finished 11-1. So it just, there has to be a path to where you can point back and say, well, if you would have done this, you definitely would have been in. And right now there's not, and that's a big time problem for the Big 12.
Yeah, the opinion of the Big 12 has never been lower than it is right now. And just think, Kyle, next year we'd have back-to-back Bedlams.
Yeah.
How pointless would this week be?
Yeah, it's silly. I mean, you just rest all your guys. We get to see the Oil Baron against some freshman for OU quarterback. I mean, I don't know. Let's talk.
Both teams just take knees back and forth.
Let's talk about Bedlam though. Let's put our ire and angst to the side for just a few minutes, even though both of us are full of plenty of it. And let's talk about Bedlam. You wanted to talk about Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, I thought there was an interesting article by Jenny Carlson, the Oklahoman, how these guys are friends. And the biggest takeaway I had, Kyle, is they kind of pulled the curtain back a little bit that, you know, Eddie Rozosovich on the podcast last week said Baker Mayfield's the top five cockiest person he's ever met in his life. I think Mason's right there. He's just really good at being professional with the media.
Yeah, I would agree.
Mason said, I throw my flames, but I do it privately. No need for y'all to see it.
Yeah, you can tell if you've been around him at all, like when the cameras are off. I think there's some edge. And that's not a bad thing to say about him. I think that he's very professional, very polished for the cameras. But I would pay money to be there for a Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph trash talking session. That'd be good stuff.
A lot of fig jam.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of fig jam going on.
And that's what I want out of my QB1 from both sides.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, I totally agree. And Mike Yurcich said that in a really good Okali article about how Mike Yurcich was like, this dude's, he's got it. He's got the stuff. He's got the goods. And he showed that in 2014 going to Norman and winning as a freshman. Are you kidding me? And he's 21.
Do you think part of that is, sorry to interrupt you. Do you think part of that is he's from South Carolina and he's like, what's the big deal, guys? We're just playing a team with a red helmet. Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah. And I just think he's really good at football and he knows it. And he's going to be a first round pick. Sporting News had him as a top 10 pick on Thursday, which is maybe a little over the top, but, And we've talked about it 100 times this week, but not having Mason Rudolph in Bedlam last year is a big deal. And having him this year is an even bigger deal. And I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be an awesome, awesome game on Saturday.
I do too. And like we talked about last week with no Mason, their offense changed. Like I think a lot of OU fans and media just glossed over that too. Like, just think how bad OU looked when Baker got hurt against TCU last year. They had to put in Trevor Knight. Like, they couldn't even get a first down. Now, I think J.W. Walsh proved to be, you know, he did pretty well. He put up good numbers and did way better than Trevor Knight did last year against TCU. But it's, you don't have a chance. If you don't have QB1 in Bedlam, you have no chance. So I think both teams come in pretty healthy in this game. It's going to be fun to watch. What does the weather concern you at all, Kyle? The rain? It kind of concerns me with the passing game.
Yeah. Because I think the passing game is more important. Like, if it's just a running contest, I think Oklahoma State's in a far better place than it was 2 months ago. But I still think you don't want to get into a running contest with P. Ryan and Joe Mixon. That's not a good idea. And Baker Mayfield. That's not a very good idea.
You saw that against West Virginia in the blizzard. Baker threw it like six times. I don't even remember how many. Threw like 10 passes and his one touchdown to D.D. Westbrook was like a 2 yard pass, 5 yard pass that he just took up like 90 yards. But you don't want to get into a land run competition with those two. That's my biggest concern, Kyle, is OSU's 81st in run defense. P. Ryan and Mixon are just loads. Can OSU stop the run? I think that's the biggest concern, and that's what's going to win or lose the game for me. Even if they get turnovers, if they can't stop the run, I just don't see how they win.
What do you think is the most interesting matchup to watch? We've talked a lot about matchups this week on the blog, just, you know, whether it's OSU's defensive line against P. Ryan and Mixon or whether it's, Jordan Parker against Chris Lacy. What to you are you going to keep an eye on Saturday?
A couple. Number one, James Washington against Jordan Thomas. You know, coming into this year, Todd McShay ranked Jordan Thomas as the number one cornerback in college football. He had him as his top-rated cornerback. And since then, he's had a bad year. He's gotten lit by everybody. Can James Washington beat him deep? How does that matchup shake out? Because I think that's huge. Are they going to – and is OU going to bracket Washington like teams have done, you know, down the stretch? You know, his numbers have kind of dwindled. I remember the game against Kansas. You know, he exploded against K-State. But how do they handle Washington? And – a low-key matchup, Kyle. I guess I tend to look towards offense more than defense as far as OSU. But Blake Jarwin over the middle. How do the OU linebackers handle Blake Jarwin? And do they get him the ball enough? Gosh, I feel like Matt Emilian has been tweeting, texting about Blake Jarwin getting more targets all season. Does he get more looks? I think Blake Jarwin dealing with the linebackers of OU, I think that's a really good matchup for OSU as well.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by the Ramon Richards D.D. Westbrook matchup. That might be
hide your kids, hide your wife.
I might be a masochist for that because it might get ugly in a hurry. But there's a great article on Pro Football Focus about how Ramon Richards is one of the best tacklers for a cornerback in the Big 12. Now, part of that is because he plays off guys and allows a lot of catches. But I'm interested to see if. I don't know. I'm just interested to see how he plays against probably the most explosive wide receiver in the country.
I hadn't seen that stat, Kyle, about his tackling. And you know what? That backs up like what I've seen this season. I've I've put that in the Slack chat a couple of times. I think Central Michigan game, he was making a bunch of tackles. Like, he's a really sure tackler. Now, granted, he doesn't have to do it very much, and I think you're somewhat right in that he'll give up a few catches to get extra tackles. But as far as just in the running game, he's a very sure tackler. And Ramon, he's very much, you know, we've compared him to Jacob Lacey. You compare him to, like, your kids. Like, he'll do he'll act up three times, but then he'll make his bed one night and just be the love of your life. But say what you want about him, the guy makes big plays too. Like, I mean, OU's secondary gives up a lot of big plays and they don't make any. Whereas Richards has made just game-winning plays. He won the game against Central Michigan with an interception. He won the game against Pitt with an interception. He has a knack for a big play at a big moment, and Gundy compared him to Sean Lewis in that way, and that he just has a knack for somehow the ball finds him in big spots. So I think that is a matchup worth watching, and I think it's one that will decide the game. If he has a good game against Dede Westbrook, I think OSU is going to win the game.
Yeah.
Because do you know who OU's second leading receiver is, Kyle?
I honestly have no idea.
It's not a receiver.
Mixon?
It's Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
That shows you just the lack of supporting cast in the wide receiver group. Now, Mark Andrews is pretty good. They're tight end. He gets a lot of he has like an absurd catch to touchdown ratio. He has like 7 catches and 8 touchdowns or something stupid.
7 catches and 8 touchdowns.
No, I'm hyperbolizing a little bit.
Well, and that's you bring up an interesting point there, because this OU team is obviously very good on offense, just insane. But they're pretty thin. You know, like, if you who's backing up Baker Mayfield, who's backing up Dede Westbrook? Like, it's just not, you know, and you don't want injuries to play in. But I just feel like on the whole, Oklahoma State might not be as talented as OU, but it seems like they're a little bit deeper. And I'm interested to see if that play comes into play on Saturday. It did in 2014. We saw P. Ryan get hurt. You know, will it this year? I don't know.
Mark Andrews has 28 catches and 6 touchdowns.
Wow.
that's the ratio I was telling you about. But no, I agree with you, Kyle. And am I crazy to say, like, OSU's defense has been playing better the last 2 weeks, even though they gave up 44 points to Texas Tech? Like, I think, you know, obviously they basically shut out TCU, but people were like, oh my God, they gave up 44 points to Texas Tech. Well, they had a bunch of three and outs and the offense didn't capitalize. And you go down Texas Tech's schedule. Let me go down here real quick. They've scored, like, on everyone. They scored 54 against Baylor, they only scored 10 against Iowa State. That kind of hurts my argument there. But they've scored 37, 59, 44, 55, 59, 55, 69. Like, I mean, to hold the Texas Tech to 44 is my point, is pretty good considering the offense Texas Tech runs. So I think OSU's defense, I think, has turned a corner, so to speak, as far as we're not seeing the massive long gains, long touchdowns we were seeing at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Yes, that's a great point. And I'd like to add to it that if you look at the points per drive, my beloved points per drive stats, West Virginia, number one in the Big 12, they're like 39th in the country. At 1.79 points given up per drive, Oklahoma State's fourth in the Big 12 at 2.16. That's not terrible. If you're at two, you're a pretty good defense. OU is sixth in the Big 12 at 2.44, and they're almost seventh. So it's not a good OU defense. It's the worst they've had as far back as we have points per drive stats, which is 2007. So I think you could reasonably say it's one of the worst OU defenses that Bob Stoops has ever had, which is pretty crazy. And I think a lot of that is due to injuries. They've lost a lot of guys. A couple of defensive linemen have left the team. But they're not – I don't know. They've won a lot of games. They've been impressive on offense. But they're not the juggernaut that they've been, I think, in the past in Big 12 games.
You're right, and especially on defense. And I think that's where the optimism would come in for Oklahoma State, is that, I mean, you're right. They've lost Charles Walker, who's their best defensive lineman. They've lost a ton of guys. And that West Virginia game, they had a running back go for, what'd you say, 330?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's the key, and they haven't exactly played a murderer's row as of late. I know they beat West Virginia, but Baylor was a sieve. Iowa State they really struggled with. Of course, they didn't have Mixon. Kansas, Texas Tech. This is the best team they've played probably since when? Ohio State?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, OSU's rolling right now. Yeah. And they come in super confident, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Okay, let's talk about uniforms. Let's get to this week's uniform preview brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Chris Knox, who I mentioned earlier, did a great job of giving us kind of, here are six uniforms we could wear or Oklahoma State could wear for Bedlam. What is your pick this week for Bedlam uniform?
Well, I've had this pick locked in since week one, but I'm changing it at the last minute.
Wow, panic. It's a panic.
No, because OSU introduced a new helmet, so I have to take it into account. I'm going the black. My original prediction was the black brand, matte black helmet they've worn for years, white jersey, orange pants, the same look they wore in 2014 Bedlam. But I'm switching it up with the barbed wire Ed Hardy helmet with the orange face mask they wore against Texas Tech, the Ed Hardy shirt helmet.
Okay.
White jersey, orange pants.
White jersey.
Black, white, orange still. Just the updated black helmet with orange face mask.
Interesting. Okay.
And barbed wire.
Okay.
And Ed Hardy print.
I hope that doesn't happen, but I could see it happening. My pick is orange helmet.
Whoa.
Yeah. Orange helmet.
You're not going black, white, orange. Okay.
No. Orange helmet with the chrome brand that we saw in week one on the white helmet.
You want to see this helmet so bad. You're just willing it to happen.
I am. I really am. Like, I've picked it three times, I think. and then obviously white top and orange pants. I think we're going to see it. We traditionally see a lot of orange in Bedlam. So I'm going orange, white, orange.
I like the theory.
Yeah.
I just, the OSU hasn't been very superstitious this year as far as combos against certain teams. But it's Bedlam. And I think people get really superstitious come Bedlam time. So as much as I like to pick this new helmet with the barbed wire, I think they might just go 2014 with it and just say, just roll the ball out there. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they might.
What's Gundy going to wear? It's going to be rainy. can he tuck in a winter coat?
Do you remember last year what he wore for Bedlam?
Was it the hoodie tucked in?
I think he wore the hoodie, but he wore those zip-away pants. Do you remember this?
He did?
Oh. Yeah, he wore these pants that they have. They're like hiking pants where you can unzip them around the knee.
Okay.
And like,
I don't remember this at all.
And they can turn into shorts. I think they were cargo too. I think he wore cargo pants.
No, you're making this. He didn't wear the pants that you can zip off the legs.
Yes.
Surely.
Yeah. Go look it up.
Bedlam. I'm trying. I'm Google imaging right now as we speak.
Bedlam 2015. I'm trying to find it too. But yeah, he wore.
Oh my God. There they are. I see them.
Yeah. See it?
Those are cargos.
Yeah.
With a sweet hoodie not tucked in.
Yeah.
That's an upset of all time.
Isn't that crazy?
He'll never wear that again because they lost by 30.
They were cargos with, I think they're actually like ski pants.
Yeah, they look like ski pants, especially at the foot where they buckle up at the foot there.
Yeah.
Ski pants. It was cold.
Yeah, again, it was 10 degrees. But yeah, going to be rainy. I don't know. Jake Trotter wrote a great piece for ESPN today about the mullet, and Glenn Spencer had the best description of it I've ever heard, which is it's like a kite with a tail when it's windy.
A kite with a tail.
which I thought was tremendous. And Trotter got Billy Ray Cyrus to weigh in on it, so...
Glenn has a way with words, doesn't he?
We're full Bedlam. It's ready to roll.
Okay. Do you know what Gundy wore in 2014 Bedlam?
He wore a ball cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it rains, he goes ball cap. So maybe he'll go ball cap with it. Can that tame the mullet, a ball cap?
Well, it's interesting because I – no. There's a 0% chance that he wears a hat with the – with the mullet this week.
You want to bet?
Well, I don't know. Not really, but I think he's going to let the mullet just – he's going to let it ride.
What if it gets rained on? This is going to be a new era of the mullet.
Yeah, does it curl? Like, what happens? I don't know.
I mean
it could freeze.
The slow-mo shots of him running – it could freeze. It might freeze stuck out as if he's running if he's running up the sideline.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to talk about before we get to our special guests of the week?
One other concern I have, Kyle, and this may be an unfair criticism. I'm fully willing to admit that. But it just seems to me like Mike Gundy coaches differently when he sees that OU logo across the sideline. I mean, I keep going back to the 2013 game. They were so much better than OU. They were 10-point favorite on their home field. They were better on offense, better on defense. He played so close to the vest. Just don't screw it up. It's OU. We got to win this game. Don't screw it up. And what happened? Once they had to score, bing, bang, boom, Clint Shelf goes up and down the field and scores too quick with a minute and a half left. So I just, and it's been like that for years. I remember the 09 game when Zach was hurt. You know, they got shut out and they were running toss sweeps on 3rd and 15. 2008, I thought he could have gone for the jugular a little more. I don't know. Do you think that's an unfair criticism?
No, I think it's fair, and I think it goes all the way back to, I said this earlier in the year, but Gundy, in a lot of ways, I think, people disagreed with me, but I think he likes being Kansas State-ish, and that's fine when you're playing less disciplined, maybe less talented teams, but it doesn't work against OU. It doesn't work against Baylor. You got to take chances, and it's funny because one of the two times he's beaten OU is with one of his worst teams in recent memory, which is 2014, and that's because you take some chances, you're playing with nothing to lose. That they've had a lot to lose in recent years, and it's kind of come through with the way that they've played and he's coached. I think that's a completely fair assessment.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a coincidence too, Kyle. In 2001, huge underdog, huge. OU was playing to go to the national championship game, and they win that game. You have to play like you have nothing to lose, even though a Big 12 championship's on the line. But you are an 11-point underdog on the road for a reason. You have to be aggressive. You have to let it all hang out. You can't just expect to hand it off and play conservatively and expect to go to Norman and win. That's my maybe number one concern.
Can we talk about how Mason Rudolph wanted to throw a pass in overtime in 2014?
Did he?
You don't remember that?
I don't.
He, they were like down on the, I think.
Well, I remember they ran Desmond Rowland all the way down to the goal line. I remember that.
I think it was in overtime. I'm pretty sure this conversation happened in overtime, but, Rudolph wanted to throw the ball on like third down and they were
instead
on
instead
like,
of kick.
Well, yeah. And they were on the five and Gundy was like, Gundy said something like, I told him, like, have you lost your mind, son? Like, is your mind still in your head? Like, is that?
Did you get hit in the head?
Yeah.
Mason?
Do any concussion protocol?
that says a lot about QB1, though.
Yeah, I love it. I'm fired up. Okay, we're gonna call our dads. It's become, how many years have we done this? 2 years? 3 years?
I think just one. I think this is the second annual Bedlam Call Our Dad edition.
Okay, that's what did we call him before or after the game last year?
Before. We were going over Bedlam memories.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, it's time for the Coop Ale Works guest of the week. Coop Ale Works bring great tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works. And please remember to drink responsibly. People might need some Coop on Saturday. Win or lose the Bedlam game.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, let's call our dads, and this should be entertaining. It usually is.
Hello.
Dad, what's up?
Is this unknown?
I'm your son, but yeah, sometimes you could call me that.
Don't you love caller ID?
Yeah. You're on the podcast.
I understand. I'll try and be nice and not cuss.
We appreciate that.
Speaking of, how are you feeling about Bedlam?
How am I feeling about Bedlam? Well, I'm feeling about like I have always felt for the last 30 or 40 years. very cautiously, maybe a little bit optimistic, but mostly pessimistic.
What are you optimistic about?
Go ahead.
I was gonna ask the same thing. What makes you optimistic this year?
Well, I think offensively we can score. I'm not sure we can keep them from scoring, but I'm hoping that we can keep them from scoring enough that we just outscore them. I don't think it's going to be low scoring. It'll be kind of like last year. I just hope that they score less and we score more.
Hope it's not like last year for OSU's sake.
I mean, in terms of points. I mean, what there was like 80 points scored last year, wasn't there? 80, 85, something.
Like that, yeah. Are you worried about the weather at all, Dad? I know everyone's talking about the rain and cold, and that'll affect the passing game. Does that concern you at all? I know there's been some funky weather games.
Well, I don't like the fact that it's raining, but it's raining on both teams. I mean, they both throw the ball well. If it's going to affect passing, it's going to affect both of them. It may force both of them to run more, which I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I mean, they run the ball pretty well. We run it way better today than we did at the first of the year, but I don't know that I want to put the outcome of that game in the hands of our offensive line run blocking. That could be dangerous.
How does the way Mike Gundy has performed in Bedlam affect the way that you view him?
None whatsoever. I love Mike Gundy. I love everything he's done. The fact that he's 2-9, we've always been 2-9 against OU for 100 years. That doesn't bother me at all.
Dad, you have a lot of hot takes on uniforms, like I do. I think that's where I got it from.
What are hot takes?
just strong opinions that may incite a reaction.
I have some really strong opinions on our uniforms.
Yeah, let's hear them. What are your hot takes on the uniforms?
The uniforms themselves, I like a lot. The helmets infuriate me. I hate about 7 out of the 10 helmets. I just
Why?
Don't like them.
What don't you like about them?
I don't like the humongous peat. It's horrible. You can't even tell what it is. I like the brand. I mean, give me one thing that's consistent from game to game. Give me the helmet. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what color the face mask is. If you want to put a stripe on it, that's fine. Don't put the damn barbed wire on it. That looked horrible. But give me the brand. I want to see the brand on the side of the helmet every week. Give me just a little bit of tradition, and you can do whatever you want with the rest of it.
Give me the brand. I love that.
Well,
they've only worn it once.
Honestly, I can almost live with the star, the badge. I kind of like the badge, but I still like the brand better. But that crap they do with little Pistol Pete, big Pistol Pete, just I don't want to see it. I'm sorry.
You can see where I get these takes from, Kyle.
Yeah, this is incredible. I could do like an hour just on your dad's uniform. Do you have any thoughts on what Oregon is doing?
What Oregon is doing?
Yeah, just with their uniforms generally. Do you like them?
Not particularly.
Oh, he hates Oregon.
I'm not shocked. I wanted to.
I'm just I'm an old guy, Kyle. I like a little bit of tradition.
Yeah. So you're like you want Alabama and Penn State to play in the uniform national title every year.
You know they have ugly uniforms. Or boring. I won't say ugly. They have boring uniforms, but still, when you see them on TV, you know exactly who it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I can turn on the TV now and OSU's playing and I have to look and make sure who it is.
that's
hard on us old guys. We want to see the brand.
That's great. Who's been the most surprising player for you this year? It's been a weird season.
Surprising player?
Yeah, who's been the one that stood out the most?
Chris Carson.
Oh, okay.
Not just because, he's named after my son, but He was so disappointing last year, and he really didn't do much this year until the last four or five games. But my gosh, that guy, the last four or five games, he's been great. I mean, we all knew Justice Hill was going to be good. He was just young. We all knew Washington was good. We all knew Mason Rudolph was good. But I think the biggest surprise to me is how well Chris Carson's played the last four or five games since he came back from being injured.
Where do you stand on OSU? You know, OSU obviously doesn't have any chance at the playoff now with the way the rankings are. Just what are your thoughts on the playoff in general and where OSU stands with it right now?
Well, I don't think OSU or OU either one have a prayer of getting in, and I don't think either one of them deserve to be in. I don't particularly agree with how the playoffs are falling into place this year. I don't like the fact that, you know, Ohio State's getting a free pass when they can't even win their division. I understand they're pretty good, but so what? They didn't win their division. They're not going to win their conference. I don't like the fact that conference championships all of a sudden don't mean anything. I think it needs to be eight teams. I think there needs to be five conference champions, three wild cards, and then everybody else can shut up.
I like that plan.
Yeah, I like it
but
too.
When you have five major conferences and only four spots, a conference is going to get left out every year. That's stupid. Why would you even set it up that way to begin with?
Make a good point.
Yeah.
So, Dad, who are you picking? We need an official prediction out of you before we let you go.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not picking us. So, I think we'll cover the spread. You know, something like 42-28, 42-31. Well, 42-28 won't cover the spread.
You're better at math than me, Dad, so you got to do better than that.
Won't cover the initial spread. That's what bothers me is the boys in Vegas don't have a lot of confidence in us, and I tend to trust those guys. If they say it's 14, you know, I don't feel real good about that.
Well, OSU's been an underdog the last two or three weeks. They were an underdog to TCU, and the line kept moving up till kickoff. So they've been wrong a lot on OSU.
Well, I think we have the team that can win. But to win in Norman is tough. And, you know, plus we've won. I mean, I was reading Kyle's blog last night. It wasn't Kyle that wrote it. I don't remember the guy that wrote it. But, you know, he showed the win losses for the series and then for since 1970 or something like that. Well, we've only won eight times since 1970.
So
you can't be real. I mean, I realize history is history. This is a different group of guys, but that's why I say I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I think we can win. And if we get two or three turnovers, I really think we can win. But if we don't, if we turn the ball over, we're going to be in trouble. And yeah. I just don't see us winning in Norman. I think we'll lose by about the line, 10, 11 points.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Dad.
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, we do too. Well, I think
listeners do too. Yeah.
We appreciate you joining us. We hope to make this, or we have, I guess, made this a yearly tradition. So it's a lot of fun, and hopefully for your sake, Oklahoma State will wear the branded black helmet with a white top and orange pants.
Well, the brand, or at least the badge. The brand or the badge.
Yeah.
B or B, I go either way.
That's great. I like it. I'm in.
BRB.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Good talking to you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, the takes. I love it. I love just dad takes about anything, really. Not just uniforms, just anything.
Well, the older you get, the less you care about who you offend.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care who he offends on his uniform takes.
Yeah.
He wants the brand. He wants the brand, dang it.
He shouldn't. He shouldn't care. That's just tremendous stuff. Okay, we're going to call my dad now. I'm curious to see if he has any uni takes.
Dad, I bet he doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
I think that's probably true.
He's probably just like,
just win ball games.
Yeah. Just give him a W.
Yeah. I hope I'm calling the right number.
You don't know your dad's phone number?
Well,
yep.
Dad?
Hello?
Dad?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm here.
What? Are you okay?
Yeah.
You sound like you're having some issues.
No, I'm good.
Okay, we're live. We're doing it live. So don't curse or anything like that.
Okay.
how are you feeling about this weekend? Are you excited, nervous, scared, all of the above?
All the above.
Why?
Well, I mean, Bedlam.
Is that your entire take there?
Well, I mean, it's Sugar Bowl versus Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not a bad compromise, I guess. The Alamo Bowl, that was a good year a few years ago, Mr. Porter. But what are your thoughts on this the quarterback matchup? You know, Kyle and I have raved about Mason for years, and Baker Mayfield's obviously having a great year too. Just how do you shake out the quarterback matchup?
Here's what I think they're going to do, and you know, we're gonna give up some chunk plays, because I guarantee you Spencer's not gonna let them throw over the top. If we get beat long, I'm gonna be surprised. So what I think they're gonna do, they're gonna start throwing underneath. They're gonna throw to Mixon out of the backfield, and they're gonna run Baker more than they have all year. And, I mean, you know how we are against running quarterbacks. Not very good.
True.
That's what I'd do if I was game planning us.
Who do you think is going to be the best player on the field on Saturday? Because it's come to this head where there's kind of these superstars on both sides. Who stands out as the best dude on the field on Saturday to you?
I actually think it could be Vincent Taylor.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it all depends on. I think turnovers are going to be big, and you know, neither one of us turned the ball over very much, so. You know, one turnover could swing the game, I think.
I think that was a smart. Broke. Yeah, I think that was a smart take you had on how OU is going to go at OSU's defense. How do you think OSU's offense is going to go at OU? I like the way you kind of diagram the Glenn Spencer model. What do you think Gundy and Yurcich do?
Well, I'm kind of with Carson's buddy Jim Traber on this. If we don't throw it deep 15 to 20 times, we're wasting plays. I mean, they cannot cover deep. I'm not sure they can cover anything.
Do you have any?
That's what.
Go ahead.
No. I'm good.
Well, we've been talking about uniforms. We just talked to Carson's dad about the uniforms. Do you have any hot uniform takes? Do you like what Oklahoma State's been doing this year? Or are you? Do you care?
Yeah, I care most of it. I was just looking at online at your, you know, six picks for what they might wear. I actually like the black, white, orange a lot. I think that would be a good look for this game. And I'm kind of, unlike others, I'm pretty high on the gray. I don't know if you remember, we wore, it's been a while, I don't think we've worn it this year, but I think it was orange, white, gray. I think it was when we...
At Kansas.
...played Baylor like 3 years ago or something.
They wore orange, white, gray against Kansas this year.
You were thinking of they wore gray, white, orange against Baylor in 2012 at Baylor.
Oh, That's the one I'm thinking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that, too.
How do you feel about the helmet logos? Do you prefer the my dad, it just, he hates Big Pete, Little Pete. He likes the brand. What do you like on the helmet?
Big Pete, Little Pete.
Well, what? Ghost Pete, Little Pete. I actually like, and we don't wear them anymore. I like the brand with the orange outline on a white helmet. The black brand, orange outline on a white helmet.
Oh yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, it looks great. They wore that.
But we didn't wear it.
They wore it at Tulsa in 2011, I think.
I was going to say, I haven't worn it since Wheaton's been here.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't wear it more. And I'm okay with the old school, you know, Jimmy Johnson, big brand. I mean, somebody said on your article they like the black helmet and just the, you know, the huge brand. I mean, it covers the whole side of the helmet. I mean, it's all right. I don't like it that much, but whatever. I don't care if we wear pink. If we
you've watched obviously a lot of Oklahoma State football over the years. Where do you stand on, because we've had a lot of discussion, real discussion about Mike Gundy this year. Where do you stand on just him as a coach and where the Oklahoma State football program is as a whole, especially as it relates to his ability to win or not win in Bedlam?
Well, I think everybody's expectation, we want to win every game. Every game, okay, let's go undefeated every year. Okay, how realistic is that for any program? Well, let's see. Let's look at the top 25. How many teams are undefeated? I mean, it's just if he's winning 9 and 10 games a year, I mean, I don't know how people – and I would say that to any – I mean, if Stix is winning 9 or 10 games a year, I mean – well, we're not winning at all. Well, okay. How many teams are? I would argue with anybody that. Do you think Les Miles would have done as good as Gundy's done in the last 11 years or however long? I'm not sure he would.
And he was one of the best coaches in the country until about 3 months ago.
Yeah. Well, everybody gets stupid when they lose games, you know. It's the same old thing. Another take I have on the coaching matchup is each other's teams want to admit it, but I think that our fans would like Gundy to be more like Stoops, and their fans would like Stoops to be more like Gundy a little bit. And, you know, I kind of coined a phrase for that. I call it genius envy. but they are who they are, and you're not going to change them. But I think it's interesting that, do you think that's true?
In what ways? They like vice versa?
Well, I mean, you know, Stoops gets up there and at his press conference, here's my thing. He's very defensive. Anything you bring up, you know, he gets real defensive about. And, you know, he's just real stiff. It's almost robotic. I mean, Gundy acts like he's hosting the Tonight Show when he gets up there. he's doing his shtick and talking about his sons and, you know, what Midwest City did back in 95. You know, I don't even know where it's going. I think the Sooner fans, they got to like the mullet. I mean, come on.
Shots fired.
It's who they are. It's who they are.
Wow.
I mean,
so why? How do Oklahoma State fans want Gundy to be more like Stoops, though?
Well, number one, they want him to win like Stoops. They want him to, you know, have, you know, 10 5-stars every recruiting class. I don't even think Gundy looks at, I'm sure he doesn't look at it because he knows he's not going to get 10 5-stars. So, I mean, he gets players he thinks he can develop. You know, I think he's done a pretty good job of it. But, I talk to, fans here in Stillwater all the time. Wow, we're not getting this guy. We're not getting that guy. Well, so what? I mean, if we're winning 9 or 10 games and, we're getting closer and closer to having a shot at the playoff, I mean, I don't see what's wrong with that. But it would be nice to get more 5-stars. I mean, I kind of look at Eddie Sutton. It's hard to recruit to Stillwater. I think everybody knows that. But if he could get one guy, if he could get a Desmond Mason, a James Anderson, he could build around it. And I think Gundy tends to look at that model. If he can get, probably a couple of years ago it was, Ronald Jones. Let's try to build around it. James Washington, I mean, who knew? Justice Hill, to a certain extent, who knew?
Des Bryant, he built around.
Rudolph. Yeah. Des Bryant. So I think he looks at, maybe one or two guys he can sort of – I mean, Mason Rudolph, obviously. That was pretty good signing, I would say.
Yeah, it was. You brought up the playoff. I want to ask you about your – because that's been obviously a big talking point of contention for Oklahoma State fans. Where do you stand on just the playoff being at 4 teams and how the committee views selecting the teams? And if I need to give you like an hour, you can have an hour.
No, I don't need an hour. I don't even know why they have it. I mean, why not? Let's just wait till never have a meeting. I mean, this is self-promotion by ESPN. That's all it is. And to create 5 other shows for Herb Street and, Joe Blow to talk about for 30 minutes. And, I mean, if you're going to just wait till the end of the season and say, okay, we think these are the 4 best teams. I mean, all this stuff going back and forth. Oh, well, the head-to-head on this guy, and conference championships mean a lot. Well, not this year. They don't mean anything. Well, let's see. Now, head-to-head means – no, not this year. It doesn't mean anything. I don't even understand what we're doing. I mean, what's the – there are no rules. I mean, just at the end of the year, we're going to pick the 4 we want. And the 4 are going to be – well, gosh, Ohio State's a brand name. Let's see. Michigan's a brand name. Alabama, well, they're undefeated. Okay, we got them. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I would argue, too, that forget the CMU debacle. I mean, if we were 10-1 and beat OU, we're not going. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They're not going to put us in that. So it really doesn't matter. And I think if OU was 10-1 and, Washington and all these other, OU might jump some of those teams if they won Bedlam. That's a brand name.
Yeah.
They're hot.
Can't leave out OU.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other takes you have that you want to air before you get off? Anything you've disagreed with or agreed with that PFB has been doing, or maybe Carson and I have said, or anything like that?
Well, number one, I think you need to have me on more because I can add a lot to the.
I want you to go to a Mike Gundy. I want you to go to a Mike Gundy press conference and grill him with all his Tonight Show acts.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. He's on fire. I mean, he'll just stop right in the middle of something, and before you know it, he's off on, you know, Gunner getting the first down in the game, you know, mid-season. Which I think is funny. I mean, it's he has a good time with it, but no, I don't have anything more to add.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you doing this, taking up your time.
Well, who are you picking? What's your prediction?
It's going to go one or two ways. I think we're going to win barely. I mean, just barely, or we're going to get blown out. I don't think it's going to be I don't think OU will just barely win. They're either going to win by a lot, or we're going to win barely.
So which one is it?
Well, I like us winning barely, but I don't know. I don't know. Go either way. If I had to pick, I'd have us winning by a field goal.
I like it. Okay, Dad. We will see you next week, early next week. Appreciate you coming on, and appreciate your time. Work on your short game. It needs work.
My short game's not the problem.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye. Okay, it was great. They are, man, just dad takes are the best. It's so funny to me because they say, like you and I will talk for, I don't know, 45 minutes and make like 5 points, and it takes them like 2 minutes to make the same 5 points. The playoffs dumb. Like that's like the point. Like they don't, there's no like evidence. Like it's just stupid.
Well, I love how long it takes them to rationalize in their head what they're thinking. Cause they're like, the playoffs dumb. And let me tell you why. And they're in no hurry at all to like make a quick point. They're just like, they got all the time in the world. That's what I love. And do our dads sound like old NASCAR drivers?
they sounded alike today. I don't know.
That Southern drawl.
Yeah.
They both have that Southern drawl, and maybe I'll develop that more as I get older.
We need to talk about what kind of coupe they drink.
Oh, I forgot to ask my dad about that. My dad likes the lighter beers. He's not a fan of dark beer at all. He won't drink them. So he liked the Elevator. He tried out the Vader for the first time a few months ago, and he loved it. So he definitely would go with the Coupe Elevator.
Well, I took that's a good choice, and I took some up to my dad whenever we were up there for homecoming, and I'm pretty sure it was the same thing. I took some Grand Sport Porters and some Vaders, and I believe it was the Vaders that he liked. So they're both maybe they're like related somehow. I don't know.
Great dads think alike.
Yeah, apparently. Okay. Well, we need to, is there anything else you wanted to discuss from that, or should we move on to the end?
Oh, it's great to hear the hesitation in their voices, because they've been around for so long and seen so many bedlam losses that they're so jaded. And I'm sure we've talked a lot about it, but OSU wasn't trying in football. back in the 70s and 80s. I mean, I guess they started to try in the 80s when they started hiring Jimmy Johnson and Pat Jones. But just as far as facilities and football program, they weren't even trying. It's just totally different day and age now with Gundy and the program he's built. But it's kind of fun to hear in their voice just the, oh, no, here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah. it is so different. Like, I think that Bedlam is – I mean, outside of 2015, it's a real thing. It's a real legitimate big time football game, big time rivalry, and it's hard to, like you said, it's hard to accept that after so many years. And I think it's hard for OU fans to accept it, but it's a real thing. You know, and I think this year Bill Haston wrote this, and you were raving about it, and rightfully so. But if Oklahoma State wins Bedlam this year to win its second Big 12 title since 2011, I mean, all of a sudden. The curse is, I mean, whatever curse or whatever monkey Gundy has on his back, it's sort of lifted. You know, I really think that it's one thing to win it once when you're supposed to win it at home in 2011. It's another thing to go into Norman and take a Big 12 title from them on their home field. So this is a huge game, not only for this year, obviously for Big 12 title implications, but also just for just the future of the rivalry and the conference and kind of your national recognition.
Absolutely. And to beat this caliber of an OU team, you know, the 2014 game was fluky, and they beat a pretty average OU team with Cody Thomas at quarterback, going in and winning a top 10 matchup on the road to win your second. That's the thing for me, Kyle, is the second Big 12 championship really would legitimize everything Gundy's done, and especially nationally. I think people would start to take note, because I think Art Briles earned a lot of respect nationally once he won multiple Big 12 championships. And if Gundy does that, that would just be the capper on what he's built over the last decade. I thought he spoke very eloquently about and very confidently pumping his own tires about what he's done the last 10 years. And that's kind of been the missing thing. He's been so close, you know, the 2013 game, all the close misses against OU to winning a Big 12 title. And yeah, winning in this caliber of a Bedlam game would be even more special.
Yeah, it really would. Okay, we need to close up shop, but first let's hear from our other sponsor this week, Chris's University Spirit. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay, let's shut it down. Do you have a Warrior poem to read, and then we'll get to our predictions?
See, I think I should hold off on the Warrior poem. Don't you? Don't I always read them the following week?
Oh, that's right. Okay, I was.
I don't want to be blamed. If you know, I want to take myself completely out of being blamed for an OSU loss.
Yeah, that's wise.
If I read the poem out of order, like I haven't done the last 10 weeks. I could be blamed, so I want to wait until Monday.
Yeah,
for the Warrior poem. And have you seen the Warrior poem? Have you seen what Glenn is doing to me? By the way,
he's trolling you.
It's a research project this week. It's a bunch of animal research projects on animals and predators, and I better get my mind right for that on Monday.
Okay, well let's do predictions, and then we will get out of here and leave everybody to their Bedlam weekend. Who you got?
Oh, I hate picking Bedlam. I always pick OU because normally you're right. I think I picked OU in 2011 just because the year before in 2010, the Landry Jones game, I said after that game, OSU will never beat OU in football. And then they've turned around and beat them the very next year. So what do I know? But Kyle, I go up and down the list, and OSU matches up really well. They might even win most position battles if you go up position by position. But the biggest difference for me, besides it being on the road, obviously, is the confidence level I have in OU's offense versus OSU's. I think both defenses will get lit. I think there's no way to predict if OSU will get turnovers or not. I think they have a good chance to, but who knows? But it comes down, I trust Lincoln Riley and the OU offense more than I do Mason Rudolph on the road with Mike Yurcich. That's just what I just think they're going to make just a few more plays, make enough plays on offense. And you combine that with the fact they have Perine and Mixon, who are just monsters, and OSU's, I believe, 81st in the country in run defense. That to me is pretty wild. So I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a lot like the 2012 Bedlam game in Norman where they went to overtime. I just think it's going to be back and forth. OSU might jump out to an early lead, but I think OU makes more plays in the end.
Do you have a score range?
Yeah, I'll go 42-38.
Man, that's about what I was going to pick. I think the same thing. We've looked at this every which way you can look at it on the blog this week, and and this may or may not be how it plays out, but you have more, you know, and I don't know if this would change if they were playing in Stillwater, but you just have more faith in the OU offense playing at home than you do the OSU offense playing on the road. The OSU offense still feels, I don't know if vulnerable is the right word, but not as automatic and not as just great as the OU offense. And I don't know, but like you said, it's so hard to determine because somebody tweeted this earlier today, but 6 of the last 8 Bedlams have seen a punt or kick return. You talk about turnovers. You can't predict that. Like, that's just, it's almost random. Injuries, 2014, P. Ryan doesn't get hurt. Oklahoma State probably doesn't win that game. So there's just so many different things that can happen. But I think the most likely scenario, I actually disagree with my dad. I don't think that it's going to be a blowout either way. I think Oklahoma State has a really good team. And I think people are sort of underrating how well they're going to perform in Norman. But I think OU wins by like a touchdown, something like that. I'll say 44-37 as my final.
You mentioned injuries. Obviously 2015 last year, Rudolph out. I think, Kyle, in 2013, which we can all agree, I think is probably the most devastating of the Bedlam losses for OSU. They were double digit favorite at home, yeah. Better team, better offense, better defense. If Trevor Knight doesn't get hurt in that game, I think OSU wins. Is that a hot take?
No, They weren't doing
anything with it. He couldn't throw a football, and then Blake Bell comes in and lights it up.
Well, who's the kid that they brought in that transferred to Utah?
Kendall Thompson,
yeah. And he didn't he come in like right before the half or something?
I think he started the second half and threw an interception on his first pass.
That's right.
And then they were like, okay, we're going to Blake Bell.
Yeah, and then Blake Bell turns into freaking like Bart Starr, you know, in the final drive. And
yeah, the 2013 game's the worst by far.
Yeah, it's not even close for me anyway in terms of OSU-OU losses. Although 2010's a little underrated. Oklahoma State was favored in that game as well.
Were they really?
Yeah, they were a 3-point favorite in 2010. I don't know why. I mean, they were 10-1, but yeah. Anyway, okay, we got to get out of here. Have a good weekend. You will be in Norman for the weekend?
I'll be in Norman. Okay. I will be there.
Wear your Ian Poulter size mittens and and take a
beer. Are you gonna call me on live TV after the game?
I might. We've got a photographer there this weekend, so I might just get him to give you a shout out or something.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good, man.
Okay. Talk to you later.